as you know, we always start with a message. And before that message, it's usually good to have some kind of input from our audience, our participants, our other blessing givers, about what might be a good thing to put our attention on. The blessings work universally, even if we don't ask for a particular blessing. But I think it's good for us. It helps us focus if we have really shared what's on our mind, what's in our heart. And you don't have to even be personal about it. It could just be a general thought you have that you want to discuss, or maybe something you've experienced as a benefit from the blessings. You know, it really helps to share your benefits, and I'll tell you why. Because sometimes the benefits come slowly and in subtle ways, and it might be after a week or two, coming back for repeated blessings, you say, oh, wow, gee, I didn't even realize that was happening, and now it's so obvious. Or perhaps somebody right after the blessing felt a strong surge of grief that didn't seem like a blessing, but it was a release point that allowed the blessing to come in. Whatever your experiences are, someone else may benefit by them. So don't be shy. Let us hear from you. And of course, I will build on whatever you bring to the audience. And, then I'll take it into our message for the day. And, one of the things that I am, really focusing on for this day is, the powerful correlation between quality of life and the happiness we experience. But before I get more into that, I see Jean Marie is on. Hi, Jean Marie.
Hi, Glenda. This is Jean Marie, and I just wanted to let you know that the cataract surgery for my left eye went just really wonderfully, and I'm scheduled to have the other one done on the 10th, and I expect the same or even better. And thank
absolutely.
You.
Absolutely. And that's a wonderful, wonderful state of mind to go into.
I didn't.
With gratitude and complete expectation of the very best of the best.
Yeah, well, thanks everybody that held me in their heart for that. I really appreciate it, and all is well.
Well, blessings to you, Jean Marie. And you certainly are in my heart, and you will be here with us for this blessing.
Thank you.
For continued healing and perfect vision.
Thank you.
Yes. Yes. Is there anyone else? Okay. Well, while I wait, there probably is. I feel like somebody's wanting to come on. Remember, it's star 6 and then 1. While you're making your equipment work and get you here, I'll just continue with what I was going to say. There's a profound correlation between the quality we seek in life and the happiness we experience in life. So often we've associated happiness with childhood memories of laughing and playing, or our teenage or young adult memories of downhill skiing or some other exhilarating sport or activity or powerful accomplishment, and we think, oh, gee, if I could just feel that again. Well, you can, but in order to feel it again, you have to raise the basic plateau of your life up a little higher than it probably is. We can all lower the plateau of our life gradually through life. Just because we think we've been there and done that, and as long as life is pleasant enough, and as long as we're healthy enough, and we have enough food on the table, well, you know, I'll get by. It's so easy just to settle for a lower common denominator of existence. But then we become bored with that, and we want to have these peak experiences. And we can't. We can't figure out how to do it. We don't want to take the risk anymore of racing down the highway on a motorcycle. we may not be able to afford that luxury vacation. And we've never jumped out of a plane with a parachute, and, you know, now is maybe not the best time to do it for the first time, so we inhibit ourselves. And we stay with this lower plateau of ho-hum, everyday, somewhat pleasantness. Ah, but here's when we don't like that, and that's when we take a dip. You know, if we're at this ho-hum pleasantness that just kind of hums along, and it's okay, well, all right, let's just say we learn to be stoic, we learn to be appreciative, we learn to be grateful, and it all works until one day we're diagnosed with an illness that's going to take some really big faith and effort to get through. Or we get hit with some past debts we didn't know were coming around. We don't know where the money's coming from. Or we lose our lifetime best friend in death. And we just, it's like that pleasantness is not enough. See, when we go down to the valley, that's when it's not enough. So we learned, it's not enough to inspire us just to get back to a ho-hum plateau. And we stop reaching for it. And so gradually, the plateau becomes lower and lower and lower. And we don't have the motivation anymore to reach for those exhilarating moments. But I'll tell you how you can actually raise the plateau. And that is by focusing upon quality in every single thing you do. It doesn't cost you any more to smile sincerely than it does to put a mask on your face and pretend you're happy. It doesn't cost you any more to really enjoy the walk from your car to the store, to the grocery store. Park a little further in the parking lot. So you might say, well, I don't want to walk a long time in my life, in this weather. You could have 1,000 excuses. Park a little further. Get out your umbrella. Breathe deeply and really enjoy your trip into the grocery store. Take that card out and start looking at the shelves and see what you can find that you haven't even thought of in months or years. Enjoy your stroll through the grocery store. Make a point of picking something off the shelf that truly inspires you to make a quality meal. Go through the produce section. Pick out the very best tomato or squash or lemon or apple, whatever it is you're looking at. Make a quality decision. If you practice the pursuit of quality for an hour on end every day, I don't make a big demand of this, just an hour on end every day, you will see at the end of that day, you are happier than you were when you started your day. And it's a cumulative process. It builds, and it builds. And without ever focusing upon happiness directly, that pursuit of quality will begin to elevate the plateaus of your life. There's another thing your pursuit of quality will do, is it will cause you to become more creative, more discerning, more appreciative. And when you see quality in other people or in other situations, you will be more grateful. You will begin to appreciate the quality of God's creation. In all of these things, you will be cultivating your own creative spirit, which then elevates the plateau of your life just a little bit. And you may not see it. It's kind of like the way water fills up in a shipping lock, you know, where the boats go through and the water has to go down and then the water comes up so that it can move the ship on through the lock. The water fills the lock so slowly you don't really notice it, but then all of a sudden your boat, the gates open and your boat can flow through and on out into the next open body of water. It can be that subtle. Happiness is a very elusive thing when we try to approach it directly. This is one of the reasons we're having the webinar on this subject, because it can be such an elusive thing. Actually, if you reach too hard for it, it could just straight out run away. It can slip out of your hands. Happiness doesn't like to be grabbed for. But there are many resources within you that attract it and allow it to see you as an extension of its own potential. This is why kids are so happy. They didn't start out in their life saying, okay, today I'm going to be happy. Can you imagine one baby having that as a goal? Actually, the strongest goal any baby, any child has is curiosity. They're extremely curious about life, and they want to have the very best experience possible, which means they're focused on quality. Even though they don't know that term, they don't look at it as quote-unquote quality, like what we look for in a work of art or in a car we're buying or in a meal we're preparing. They don't know the word, but they're looking for the best possible experience. And as many good experiences as they can have, and their curiosity just drives them through the day. They're also extremely optimistic. Unless a child has been extremely abused, or been in hostile environments, or ill for a long period of time, you'd never see a pessimistic child. In fact, if you ever see a pessimistic child, you know that child is in trouble. That child needs to go into care counsel immediately to find out what's wrong. I mean, a child will reach for anything thinking that the result will be a good one. It's you that has to watch his hands to keep them off of burners or out of fans or that pretty little fan that moves around. It's just so fascinating. I wonder what would happen if I put my fingers in it. It's you, the parent, that has to keep those little fingers out of that fan. You've learned the hard way. And because we've learned that not all experiences are good, we're a little bit reserved on some experiences. There are lots of experiences we don't reach for. And we allow that spirit of caution sometimes to bleed to the whole of our life. But we can correct for that. With just a spirit of optimism, a spirit of quality, and expectation for the best possible result. I see that Paul has been on the line, so I'm going to take a little break, a drink of water, and let Paul talk. Hi, Paul. You're on.
Hello, Linda. Hello, everybody. Well, I've been so focusing on finding the happiness in my beingness. And what I've come up with is that that I'm happy just to be alive.
Mm-hmm.
I'm happy to be, well, how can I say it? To have experienced what I have in life, and to have the certain knowledge that whatever I have been born with is always there, and that there will be a time for that to be exercised and shared with others. And so,
wonderful.
So I have really it just kind of settled in on me that's the way. When I think of all the blessings that have come my way, you know, me very happy.
Oh, Paul, I'm so glad to hear that. And the fact is, happiness really is an inside job. When we can get to the point where we're not happy, where we're happy not because of something, but we're just happy, and then can use our happiness to cause more good things in life, that's when we begin to raise the whole threshold of happiness in our life.
Yes, I like
that. As long as we can only be happy because something good has happened, then we're vulnerable to the ups and downs of life. Because we can't count on external events always being the most positive or the most beneficial for us. You know, let's face it, the world goes round and round and has to address the needs of everyone. And there's, if there were just a spirit of happiness in the world that was focused on everyone, that would not be a problem. But it seems like we have so many people competing for this energy of happiness and then hoarding it as if hoarding would make it theirs. The real truth is the more we share our happiness, the more we have. And that's a secret that's really important to learn as we go on in life. And, of course, that's what our blessing givers do. They have come to the point where they see, they've learned how to center their happiness and their ultimate well-being in the heart of their being, and then to extend and express that out as a greater potential of life for everyone around them. For this, I am so grateful to be part of and to be with our blessing givers today as we extend well-being and happiness and healing. You know, an interesting thing is that we extend the blessings, the Christ blessing comes to you as an energy form. And however it comes to you, whether you feel it first as emotional energy, in the sense of feeling happier, or a sense of joy, or brightness, or optimism, or if you feel it physically, or if you feel the energy spiritually, maybe you even feel it mentally, but however you feel it, it will accelerate the energy in all the other points of your life. Now, it may take a few days for it to carry over. For example, just a feeling of bliss that lets you know you have been touched spiritually. Spiritually, you've been lifted to a higher place. And you don't feel anything other than that during the blessing or maybe shortly after, but you rest, as we ask you to do, 7 minutes at least, and allow that to filter into your body, heart, soul, and being. By the time you're finished, it probably will affect your outlook for the rest of the day. You may sleep better. You may have a more higher quality meal. And by quality, I don't mean more expensive. I mean more discerning for your physical needs, more appropriate to what's good for you and what helps you feel better. So you may have a more quality meal, sleep better, have more quality time with your family, your friends, and then all of a sudden you wake up the next day after all of that and you have more physical energy. Now, all of this adds to your physical well-being, your emotional and mental well-being, and that expands into other areas of well-being. So sometimes it takes a few days to filter through all the levels of energy. But actually, inside this universe, now I'm not speaking for the ultimate place of heavenly bliss. I can't tell you about that. I've had visions of it. I've read stories of people that go there in their near-death experiences. I know what it was like to be with Yeshua, but I haven't returned there during my living life. So I can't give you direct experience on that, but I can tell you from all my experiences in this universe, all my studies with masters of many realms, from physical to transcendental, masters of the Far East, masters of philosophy and spirituality and physical and athletic. Everything in this universe is energy. In fact, one of the reasons our thoughts are so powerful about bringing about results in our life is even our thoughts are energy. When we direct them like an arrow toward the point of our object of our desire, it can activate that object with energy, and that energy will be in our personal frequency because we sent it. That sets in motion a field of attraction between us and the very thing we are desiring to make contact with, whether it's a person, a task, a journey, or just more thoughts on a particular idea. Many is the time when I had an idea for a painting, but it was kind of vague. And I would look through pictures in my photo files, and I would look and look and look. And of course, I would never find one that was exactly what I wanted to paint, because my paintings are original and they start from within me. But I might find a picture of, oh, let's say, a stream, because there's a stream in my vision. I might find some pictures of flowers, of daisies, because there are daisies in my vision. Creating more energetic contributions to my vision helps that vision come more to life. Perhaps there's a person in that vision, and I can set up a dialogue with my imaginary subject and think about, what if I were there, what would I be saying to this lady or this young child or this man? What would I be saying to them? And I engage in that conversation until our relationship becomes real. Really, really real. And then I find a face that looks a little bit like what I would like to paint, until all of a sudden, inside my mind, there it is. And the vision then is something I can work from to build a painting, and the painting becomes a reality. And it was all created through the layers and layers of energetic composite and activation. So what begins in your blessing, you may want to add to in your life. Don't be hesitant or afraid if you get a thought in your blessing about calling an old friend. Why not pick up the telephone and call the friend instead of just passively waiting, hoping the friend will call you? Or maybe, if you're a little reluctant, don't call your friend, but send a postcard and say, been thinking about you lately. Wouldn't it be nice to talk? And then you can see if your friend calls you. Do something that adds extra energy to what is happening in your blessing. Because this is a conduction of energy from God through the Holy Spirit with Yeshua standing with you in your heart. The earth, and we know the earth's energy is powerful and potent with a strong magnetic form of energy. It's drawing to you the very things you need. And many of the things you need are not things you think you need. It's like a lot of times we try to head straight to the result and have no idea what's involved in the process. Well, I can tell you from a year and a half of preparing to move, finding the place we were moving to, packing, loading, traveling, unloading, getting set up, that I had no idea what would be involved in the process. I tried to estimate it. I tried to predict it. I asked for counsel and opinions about what we should do and how we should box. I gave away as much as I could. sold what I felt I wanted to sell, skinnied down everything we had to about two-thirds of the amount we had in Sedona, and we still had too much, had to get an extra truck, had to leave the business behind. Oh, wow. All these things that were part of the process, and I had no idea they would be part of the process. This can happen to us in anything, because when we get a goal, that goal is an end result of what we see in mind. And if we just go straight to the goal, we may get there, but if I would compare that to moving, if I went straight to the goal, I would have gotten to this house, but I would have gotten here with just enough furniture to barely get by on. No remnants of the business whatsoever. No ability to continue what I did. Just the bare sticks of existence. In order to really get here, in order to really flesh out a new life in a new place, I had to surrender to parts of the process that were not always pleasant and certainly not always foreseeable. And this can be true of anything. We could be starting a new romance, fall in love, get married. The first 6 months are the honeymoon. We've all either done that or we've seen movies about how this happens. And then all of a sudden, life comes into the picture. We have to deal with life beyond the honeymoon, beyond the little cottage we're in. We have to think about paying the bills, maybe realizing that a new baby is on the way. Oh, my goodness. We have to think about how we're going to put it all together, and what if one of the new partners is transferred to a different location and you've got to deal with a remote relationship for 6 months while the baby is coming. So life happens. Now, you're still in love. You wouldn't have changed a thing. You're looking forward to a beautiful, wonderful life together. But now life is in the process of happening. This is true with the blessings of God, no less true. God will bring us the answers we need, will strengthen the hope required, will confirm our faith in the results that are necessary. But if we're going through, for example, a healing process, it may not altogether be pleasant at every step of the way. But if we keep our eye on the goal, and then we embrace the larger aspects of the process, we will make it. And we bless all the other aspects of the process as they happen. We will get there. So it's up to us also to accept the blessing and to accept the larger processes of the blessing with our faith, our confidence, our optimism, our dedication to having the results we want. It says in the scripture, do not test God. And here's a place in which I think that really is relevant, because sometimes we ask for a prayer. We ask for something in prayer. And then we don't do anything to contribute to it because we want to see if God can do it all by himself. If God will show us his miracle. If God will just allow us to be passive and be God. You know, there's an old parable that says, faith is when we believe in God. And he shows up to give us the blessings we need. When God has faith in us, it's because he believes that we can bring about the blessings we need. So you have to realize it's not just we who have faith in God, but God has faith in us. Did you ever think about it from that direction? Our relationship to God is exactly that. It's a relationship. Would you want to be in a marriage where only one partner did everything and you didn't speak to your partner if that partner didn't do everything? Would you want that? Of course not. You enjoy the give and take. You enjoy when you can have faith in your partner, knowing that when you can't do something, your partner will be there. And then you enjoy the fact that your partner will be there for you when you can't do everything. It's the same between you and God. But what a partner to have. What an incredible partner to have. And we know now we have the partner in three forms. We have God, the Almighty, the Creator. We have God in the form of our brother, Yeshua, the Christ, who has lived life as we live it, who's here with compassion and empathy for us. And we have God as the very Spirit of love, the Holy Spirit, moving through us. And we have the earth that wants nothing but the best for her children. With that kind of partnership, how can we do anything but win if we just meet it all with the tiniest bit of receptivity, the tiniest bit of faith, and of complementary effort or contribution to the process? I want to move us now toward our blessing, and we'll start with a prayer to Yeshua. Before we go, I'd like to ask our blessing givers to offer a special blessing to my husband, Larry, who fell last night and sprained his wrist really painfully. And so with love and in your heart, I hope you'll give him a really special nudge of love and healing. Let us begin by being in our positions, seated, just comfortably in a chair, with our feet on the ground, ready to receive the blessings of the earth, our head comfortably relaxed in a humble position, our hands in our lap, but uncrossed, our legs uncrossed. Remember, energy will be flowing from heaven to earth. Let's not make it have to cross a pathway. So now just allow your attention to drop into your heart and be ready to enter your own state of prayer, your prayer for the greatest good, for yourself, for those around you, and for all that you care about. You will begin your prayer as soon as I finish my invocation to Yeshua, and then the blessing givers and I will conduct the blessing for about 3 minutes. We'll let you know when we're done. Then you go and rest and absorb and receive all that has been given to you. Okay? Dear Yeshua, the one who loves us unconditionally, who came to experience life as we have experienced it, both the pleasurable and the painful, even the most horrible of pains, you avoided nothing. From laughter to tears, that you may know fully the human experience. Whatever we are going through, we know that you have been there. You understand. You have compassion and you have empathy for all we experience. Thank you for being here with us, with your loving heart, giving of your love, your experience, your dedication, and your devotion to raising the wellness, the happiness, and the creative threshold of our life to a higher level. We thank you for being with all of those who need you and don't know to ask, that we may be a beacon in the world for them. We ask that whatever we receive may be multiplied in the days and weeks ahead, that we may have abundance to share. All these things we ask with humility in the name of Christ. Amen. Let us begin, blessing givers. The energy of blessing has been given. Now go and lie down, receive it, assimilate it, be nourished with it, and lifted up by it. The blessings of God are with you. And I look forward to being with you again in the future. Next week we'll be here, just as we always are. Much love to you this week, and many blessings. Bye-bye.